the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It was brought to my attention recently that I've been lax in instructing you guys to stand when we have Trinitarian verses at the end of hymns. It is the tradition of the church that we stand when we exalt the Holy Trinity, and so that we have a more reverent exaltation. And someone brought it to my attention that I've been forgetting to do that. So it's also a game. If ever I have not told you to stand and you notice it, you can be the first one and you get the prize of being the first one to notice that it's a Trinitarian verse. Now this morning, as we come to the beginning of Advent, I want to start with a famous parable told by the greatest satirical wit of the French Enlightenment, and that is Voltaire. Voltaire famously imagined that the world was a ship and God was its creator and captain. He imagined that God had built the ship to the best of his ability and pilots the ship to its destination. To be sure, God is ultimately in control. But in Voltaire's mind, we humans are nothing more than the rats that live on board. We scurry about deck to deck, living our lives as the captain pilots the ship. We live all off all of the things that the captain has provided, but of course we are far too insignificant for the captain to pay attention to our affairs. The captain does not care or even notice the births or deaths of the rats, struggling for territory, the joys of finding fresh cheese, the chill of the winter storm. All these things are beneath him. He's got the important work of a helmsman to do, after all. This view of God, that he is distant and far away, continues in our day and in many ways has become more extreme, more exaggerated, and has even often infected the Christian mind. You may have heard it said that with all we know about the vastness of the universe, the billions upon billions of galaxies, it is the height of human arrogance to believe that God cares about this little blue spot, this little blue speck called Earth, or even more, that he would care about an individual rat like you. No, indeed, we are not even rats, not even gnats, more like the insignificant microscopic pieces of dust amongst trillions of other infinitesimally small pieces of dust. According to this view, if there is a God, certainly he has bigger concerns than whether you live a life in accordance with righteousness or whether an individual lives or perishes. But this is not the God who has revealed himself in Scripture. This Sunday, we begin the season of Advent, which is a Latin word, which means he comes. The God who has revealed himself in the Scriptures is a Lord who comes, who visits his people. He is not distant, but near at hand with salvation in his wings. Thanks be to God and thanks be to Jesus. The Lord is known by his coming. He is known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is known as the Lord who brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. He is known as the Lord who delivered them from exile. First, he was called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob because he came to the patriarchs. He spoke to Abraham. He ate with Abraham at Mamre. He stayed Abraham's hand before the patriarch could slaughter his son Isaac. The Lord provided a ram as a sacrifice for Isaac and protected him in his sojourning all his life. He revealed himself also to Jacob at Bethel at the top of that ladder that extended into heaven. And he wrestled with Jacob before he confronted his brother Esau. Second, the Old Testament church knew God as the Lord who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. For in Egypt, God had come and visited his people. By his mighty hand, he freed them from their bondage. Through the waters of the Red Sea, he drowned Pharaoh and his armies and brought the people of Israel safely to the other side. He formed them into a nation and made them his own people. The Lord was known by his visitation. He himself identifies himself as, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Yet the Exodus, that great salvation event of the Old Testament, was only a type, a shadow, an image of a greater salvation to come. As Jeremiah prophesies, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt. This mighty coming of the Lord was only temporary. God would come again to visit his people. Despite God's mighty work of salvation in Egypt, despite his gracious dwelling in the temple, despite his calls to repentance through the prophets, the people of Israel rebelled against God again and again. The prophets warned the people of a coming destruction, a day of judgment and a day of exile when Israel would be dragged off into slavery again. Yet God came to visit his people. He visited them in their exile and brought them back to the Holy Land. Thus Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled, and God was known by a third name, the Lord who led Israel out of exile. Yet this salvation, too, was temporary, a type and a shadow of the things to come. The prophets declared of yet another visitation of the Lord, a day when we would no longer call God the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, when he would no longer be identified as the God who brought Israel out of Egypt or out of exile. Jeremiah prophesies, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In joyous expectation of this king, the psalmist sings, lift up your heads, O gates, lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. The Lord declares through his prophets that he himself will come to visit his people again. But is this good news? Should we sinners hope for the day when God will execute justice and righteousness on the land? God indeed is not far off, but is his visitation law or is it gospel? The visitation of the Lord was not good news for Sodom and Gomorrah. It was not good news for Pharaoh and his armies. It was not good news for Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Can it be good news to us who are unrighteous? Should we fear the coming of the King of glory? Jeremiah prophesies, this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. God is known by his coming, and he is no longer known as the God who brought Israel out of Egypt, but as the Lord is our righteousness. Jesus, that righteous branch of David, enters Jerusalem, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt. He does not come like Caesar on a war chariot pulled by four mighty horses with captives trailing behind him. Christ does not enter Jerusalem as a conqueror, but he enters as a victim. The King of glory was born in a manger. The King of hosts subjected himself to the scorn of man. Righteousness and justice incarnate came to be found guilty and was executed on your behalf. The Lord Jesus came to give you his righteousness. And God is now known by his visitation. He is called, the Lord is our righteousness. The Lord is not distant, but he comes to visit his people and is known in his coming. It is to this great salvation that the Exodus testifies. In the waters of holy baptism, just as the waters of the Red Sea drowned Pharaoh and his armies, the devil and all his armies have been drowned. And you have been brought safely into God's people, the church. You have been made his people. He has washed away your sins, and he has clothed you with his righteousness. The Lord is your righteousness. The Lord of glory, born in a manger, comes to you in his body and blood every Sunday that we have the Lord's Supper. And he forgives your sins because he is your righteousness. In his word, in the absolution, he declares you righteous because he is your righteousness. The Lord who visited the patriarchs, who visited his people in Egypt, who visited his people in exile, he came to die for your sins, comes to you now in word and sacrament. And he will come again. On the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment, we will call upon his name. The Lord is our righteousness. And we will be saved. Amen. We rise for the offertory.